Well, we have many away this morning, but we're here because God's a mighty God. Amen? Amen. We're really looking forward to next Sunday night again as we kick off with this series. Remember, we have the catch-up at 6 o'clock for those that are behind. And I will want to do a catch-up at some stage for those that have missed out and think, oh, why did I miss out? And so we will do a full catch-up, spend a Saturday afternoon, and we'll go straight through some of those sessions that you've missed. So if you've missed out on that and you're regretting it, because if you have missed out, you should be regretting it because it's brilliant. We don't want you to miss out. We'll give you that opportunity. This morning we want to talk about reigning in life. What does it mean to reign in life? Our theme for the year is about kingdom reign. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. But there's a sense that we have been called to reign in life. And what does it actually mean to reign in life? Does it mean to have a life without any problems? Hands up if you've got a life like that. No, my hand's not up. I'm just seeing. None of us have got a life like that. It's not about not having any problems in life. So you can be reigning and still experience some difficulties, some challenges, some struggles along the way. And so I want to talk about what does it actually mean to reign in life. It doesn't mean to have a life without any problems, because as long as you're living in this sinful world, you're going to come against opposition. You're going to come against different circumstances. But what does it mean to reign in life? We know our scripture for the year. Hopefully you've just about learnt this by heart now. Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Amen. The Lord is faithful to his promise and loving towards all that he has made. That includes you. Every promise that God has made to you. And he's faithful to those promises and he's loving towards you. But what does it mean for us to reign in life? Romans 5:17, it talks about that we need to be able to reign in life and that we've actually been given the ability to reign in life. But if you have a look at your life and you did a little mental stock take, excuse me, and you say, well, look, am I reigning in life? How do I know whether I'm actually reigning in life? Because sometimes you feel like it's raining, all right. You don't feel like you're reigning, though, as in terms of having dominion or authority exercised within your life. Romans 5:17 says this, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, of course, talking about Adam, how much more, now listen to this, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now that's you. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've just had communion, we've remembered Jesus died on the cross in our place and for our sin that we might have peace with God. It says that for those, that's us, who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, how much more will we reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, how much more will we reign in life? If sin came in into mankind because of Adam, how much more will we reign in life? This life, reign in life. So we have the ability to reign in life. In 1 Corinthians 4:8, Paul is being a little bit sarcastic as he has a bit of a go here at the Corinthians, who became a little bit off track in many ways, as you'll see when you read the book of Corinthians. But this is what he says to them, already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You've begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish you really had begun to reign, so that we might also reign with you. Because they're getting a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky, these Corinthians, and Paul was sort of just bringing them down to earth a little bit, saying, guys, you think you're reigning, but you're not. But how I wish that you really were reigning. How I wish you really were reigning in life. And that's the life that God has asked us and called us to live. Remember when Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I've come to give you life and life to the full, or abundant life, an abundant life. A life that is full, and that's a life that is a reigning life. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, that we might reign in life. And it's through Christ. We don't reign in life without Christ. In fact, we don't do anything in life of any significance, of any value, of any point without Jesus Christ. So we've been called to reign in life. And then the word there, reign, we know what the word to rule means. We've been looking at that, basileia. We know that means it's the authority to rule of a kingdom, not an actual kingdom, but the authority to rule a kingdom. We've been talking about that. This is a very similar word, basileia, which means to exercise influence. In fact, it means the highest influence, particularly in the context of Romans 5:17, that we've been called to exercise the highest influence. Now, every one of us wants to make a difference in this world. Do you want to make a difference? Well, I certainly do. And people say, well, what do you do? Well, because I want to make a difference for eternity. Some people want to make a difference for this life. You know, they have lots of trophies or a little monument or something. But every one of us, we can actually make a difference for eternity. That's a wonderful thing about being a believer. You can actually affect eternity. What a wonderful thing that is. You lead someone to Christ. You've actually made something that has eternal implications. What an amazing thing that is, that you can do something. You can put a mark, a seal that lasts forever. And that happens when you lead someone to Christ, when you're spreading the message of Jesus Christ. So you have an ability to make an influence, not only for this life, but also for eternity. When I want to be effective in my life, how do we be effective in our life, to have an abundant life, to have this life where we're reigning, where we're having this incredible influence? How do we actually reign in life? Because Paul says, I wish you were already, guys, that you're talking like you were, but you weren't. And he brings them down in Corinthians and corrects them more than bringing them down. But how much more, it said in Romans 5:7, how much more will we reign in life? How much more? How much more will we reign in life? So when we talk about reigning, when a king is reigning, he has his subjects. There's the subjects. Some are loyal subjects. Some are people that are just subject because they're under an authority, whether they like it or not. And when we talk about reigning in life, when I'm talking about reigning, I'm talking about subjects. Now, I'm not talking about you ruling over anybody. I'm not talking about us ruling over people. That's not for us to do. Well, we're not in the business of ruling over people. But there's some things that need to be in subjection to us, need to be subject to us. If we are reigning, and how do I know whether I'm really reigning or not? Then I have to have a look and see, well, what is in subjection to me, and what am I in subjection to? Because everybody's in subjection to something. People that of the world who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're actually subject to a worldly system. They're subject to the ways of the world. They're subject to the enemy. And we becoming a Christian, we give our life to Christ, we're certainly coming subject to him. We're coming under his dominion, under his authority. We've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the glorious light. So something's changed within our life. So we're subject to God. But what are we subject to, and what are we subjecting? What are we actually ruling over? If we're not ruling over people, then what are we ruling over in this life? Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen in eternity when we reign and rule with Jesus. There's the millennial reign, there's the 1,000-year reign where we reign and rule with Jesus. And there's a sense of the people of earth, and like it's going to be like 1,000 years where we actually get to see what the world would have been like without sin. And it talks about us reigning and ruling during that 1,000-year reign. And so there will be people that are alive during that time and that will be having influence and reigning and ruling over the 1,000 years. Ultimately, in eternity, I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be look like. What are we doing exactly in eternity? Other than I know it's going to be lots of fun. And I also know that what happens in eternity is that whatever we're doing in this life is what we're building for eternity. Not just in reward, but in terms of character, the kind of person you are. That's really what you take with you. And that's why every day of your life is so very important. Every decision, every choice ultimately will affect something in eternity, what you actually take, the person that you are. But what do we have to have in subjection? What's in subjection to us if I'm ruling? One of the main areas that we need to be in subjection is getting our flesh into subjection, to rule over our flesh. We talk about our flesh, I'm not just talking about our bones and our skin and muscles and tissues and sinews and all of those things, but that's certainly a part of that. But we're talking about the things that are within us, those desires, those drives, those things that are within us, the compulsions, the things that happen within us, our will, our emotions, those kind of things that that are a part of who we are, and bringing those things into subjection, bringing them to rule over them, to rule over our own life. And that's really important, that we are people that begin to rule over this, rule over our own life. That's part of ruling in life. And if you can't look after your own life, then don't think you're going to have authority in any other way. And so there's an important factor about that. Romans 6:12 says this. And again, it mentions the word reigning. We're talking about reigning. It says in Romans 6:12, it says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. And so not letting sin reign in our body, not letting our flesh rise up and not allowing that to take influence in our life. It's such an important area as believers that we're reigning over ourselves. But some people really struggle with that. It's like the flesh sometimes just rises up and takes full control. But if we're going to be reigning in life and to have an abundant life and to have that influential life, it's something that we need to bring this flesh under subjection, under control. Now, one of the ways that they tried to do that is the practice of what they call mortification of the body, or which was like putting your body to death, or by the process of flagellation. It was one of the ways that they, people tried to deal with the flesh, because they know that the flesh and those things are the things that can cause us to stumble. People get caught up and they do things and they allow the flesh just to rise up. One of the ways that they tried to deal with that is to flagellate themselves. And so what they would do in prayer, coming before God and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, they'd have this little whip there, they'd have several little bits of cattail there with little knots tied in the end. And as they're in, and they would whip themselves, Lord, forgive me, I'm unworthy, and whip themselves and trying to bring their flesh into subjection as they're praying and whipping themselves and causing themselves incredible pain. And somehow by doing that is somehow get right with God. And somehow in that process to excise the flesh and these worldly desires and these things that rise up by beating them out of themselves. And that was one of the things that people would try to do in trying to bring the flesh into subjection, because the reality is it's a big issue, it's a big deal, it's a big struggle for many people trying to just to get, you know, so that our anger doesn't get out of control, or that our attitudes or whatever it is. And people struggle with that. So that was how they tried to do that. Of course, it didn't really work. They just walked around with a very sore back from whipping themselves. It says in Colossians 2:23, it says, such regulations indeed have appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, Paul said that right at the very beginning, that it's not going to do anything, inflicting that pain upon your body, whipping yourself. Now, some of us will do that, though. Now, some of you say, well, I don't do that. I don't have a whip. I don't whip myself. But some of us, what we do is we beat ourselves up. We do something wrong and we're into ourselves. We don't actually physically maybe have a whip, but you're actually physically whipping yourself with a trust that you don't. But maybe we give ourselves such a hard time as that we might as well. We're really into ourselves. We make a mistake, we blow it, and we bring out a whip. It's not a physical whip, but maybe emotionally we're down in ourselves. You're useless, you're hopeless, you did it again, and we beat ourselves up. And that's never going to change. Working with guilt or shaming ourselves or feeling guilty, that's never going to cause us to reign and rule. If we bring ourselves down, however are we going to be in a position of reigning in life, having that abundant life, having an influential life, if we're really struggling and we deal with it by always bringing ourselves down all the time? But many people will do that. They're stuck with the habit and they do it again, and whatever it is, it could be their language, it could be their attitude, it could be a physical addiction or compulsion, it could be anything. And then we beat ourselves up. We haven't got a physical whip, but we'll do that. But it's scripture said right here at the very beginning, harsh treatment of the body and self-imposed false humility and bringing ourselves down, it says, lacks any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So what it will do, if one of the first things to reign in life means I've got to have something in subjection, something underneath, something that I'm ruling, and that's me, my own self. If I've got to have that in subjection, my own flesh, how do I actually do that? Because we all struggle at times with that. So how do we live a life where we're reigning in life. As I said, it doesn't mean nothing about what things never going wrong, not about that, but bringing things into subjection in my flesh. I've got to bring that under control. I've got to bring that into subjection. How do I do that? So I don't know about you, but some of you might have strong willpower. Some of you may be incredibly self-disciplined people. But even the most self-disciplined people that may be incredibly disciplined in one area, maybe their house is spotless and everything's always tidy and there's not a speck of dust on their car and everything's like that, but in one other area, bang, out'll come. Someone cuts them off, out it comes. And so just because you're self-disciplined in some areas doesn't really mean that you're necessarily got this into subjection. Some people have very strong willpower just through sheer determination. But you'll find that in some things, it doesn't matter how much willpower you have and how determined you are, you seem to not be able to rule in this area. Things just rise up. And so what are we supposed to do about all of this? Now, some people think, well, you never will do anything about it. That's the Christian life. And I'll read Romans 7. And it won't be on the screen, but I'll just read you. And so people will pluck out Romans 7 and they say, well, that's the Christian life, isn't it, anyway? They'll say, isn't it always that constant battle of here I go again, I've done it again, and struggling and not ever been able to break through on certain things? Isn't that our life? They'll pluck out Romans 7, which says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do, not want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I that do it, but it is a sin living in me that does it. And so some people read that and they'll take that out of context, Romans 6, as the context of Romans 7 is Romans 6 and Romans 8. And if you read that in line, you begin to understand that's not the description of the Christian life. That's not how we're supposed to live our life. That's not reigning, struggling. Oh, but didn't Paul have that? What Paul's talking about here in Romans 7, if you look at it, Romans 7 comes after Romans 6 and before Romans 8. He's talking about people trying to live under the law. People trying to live with that self-imposed regulation. People trying to do everything just the right thing and always struggling. And he says, look, it's a no-win scenario. You're never going to rule, but some people see that as a prescription for the Christian life, but it's not. You've got to read Romans 6 and you've got to read Romans 8 if you really want to understand. We're not under law, that's the whole point. And Paul is saying, if you're going to live under law, man, this is what your life is going to be. But he's not saying that's what the Christian life is, and that's not what an abundant life is. Does that sound like an abundant life to you? Does that sound like a reigning with Christ where my whole life every day is such a struggle in everything that I do, even just the person that I am? That to me sounds very depressing and very difficult way to live our lives. And it's not the way that Christ is calling us. We're talking about reigning in life. Not always been under everything and under bondages and struggling with things in our life for our whole life. So what do we do with that? Well, I'm not going to read Romans 8, but if you read Romans 8, you'll begin to realize, well, hang on, because Paul cries out around and says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Woe is me. Who's going to help me? And he says, oh, thanks be to Christ. And that's the answer for each and every one of us and the fact that we have Christ in our lives. Romans 8, 9, and it's talking, and remember we're talking about subjection, we talk about a kingdom, we talk about a realm, and it says, you, however, are not, this is Romans 8, 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You don't live there. You're not actually under that authority, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. You're born again, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is living within your life. And so you're not under that realm of the flesh. We're actually under the realm of the Spirit. And so we can't even use that as an excuse. Some people use that as an excuse. Oh, well, we're not actually under that. We're actually under something which is very liberating for us. It removes any excuse that we might want to put there. But it's also very liberating to us to realize that we're not actually under that. Before we were in Christ, then life was always a struggle. You know, they have the alcoholic that just, whenever they see a bottle, as much as they try, they know they're a goner. they're gonna go for that. And unless they get a lot of help and work through things, which is possible. But without Christ in our life, we're going to always really, really struggle. But we're not under the dictates of the flesh. We're in the realm of the Spirit. And what it really comes down to, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And we know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness. And we talk about self-control. It's always interesting that when we think about it, something that is a fruit, a benefit of having the Holy Spirit within us, is self-control. I mean, wouldn't you think that having the Holy Spirit within us, it would be spirit control, that the Holy Spirit would stop us from doing things? Well, what actually happens is that actually we, as we get closer to God, as we get intimate with our Father in heaven, as we pray, the Holy Spirit is within us, actually does begin to impress on our own spirit. It tells us, it won't come up on the screen, but Titus 2:12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. The Holy Spirit begins to instruct our human spirit, and we begin to, in intimacy and in prayer and through God, something begins to change within our hearts, and we begin to understand that I don't have to do that. I don't have to be like that. I don't have to be a hothead. I don't have to do that. I can't use the excuse of, oh, well, that's my heritage of my ethnicity. We can't use those kind of excuses because we're not a product of anything like that. We're actually in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, so Paul puts it this way. He says, so I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's something about walking in the Spirit is to bring our flesh into subjection. Willpower is good in some things, but at the end of the day, our willpower, our self-discipline, but there's a self-control that the Holy Spirit helps us in. So far, it's far more than self-discipline or willpower. Self-control is something that has originated not from your own willpower determination, but it's something that actually has its origins and birth through the Holy Spirit within our life. And so it's something that we can tap on. Some people think self-control and self-discipline are the same. They're not. The self-control is when the Holy Spirit is impressing upon us, on our own human spirit, as we're learning to walk in godliness and righteousness, that whole sanctification process of walking and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that we need to do is get our flesh into subjection. If we're going to reign, we need to get our flesh into subjection. How do I do that? Then it's through intimacy with your Father. It's through prayer. It's for building up your spirit, being strong on those things. That's how you're going to be able to do that. Because out of sheer discipline and willpower, some things you're just not going to cut it. And it doesn't mean you're a weak person. It just means that there's some things in life that we need the Holy Spirit's help with, that area of self-control. But it's still self-control. It's not the Holy Spirit just cutting that off in our lives. It's us working with the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit brings a conviction upon us, well, then we make that choice. And we're empowered to make the choice. Because living a life with our flesh in subjection is a daily thing. With every choice that we make, the sum of every choice that we make, and to make those choices one choice at a time. You know, the alcoholic is trying to stop drinking. Well, it's one choice at a time. Do I go to that bottle or do I go to God? One choice at a time, one step at a time. And it's the way the Lord helps us to bring our flesh into subjection. So it's such an important area of life. If we're going to reign in life, we can't have our flesh, our emotions or whatever just flying all over the place. We're not going to have an abundant life in that because we're going to trample others down. We're going to cause all sorts of problems. We're going to bring ourselves down, and then we're going to bring out the old wit. Here I go, I've done it again. And off we go again. The only way to break out of that cycle is through the Spirit of God and to walking in intimacy with Him. And I encourage you to do that. Allow the Holy Spirit as you pray. Pray in the Spirit. You spend time in prayer to begin to work upon your heart and your life. And you find that you have a capacity to stop doing those things. Under the law, in Romans 7, I'm just doing the things I don't want to do, and I know that it's wrong, but I just keep on doing that. Well, that's not your life. That's not this prescription of your life. It's walking by the Spirit. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Not telling us to aspire to that, no, just live your life. like that, walk by the Spirit. And so it's an important area that we bring that into subjection. Intimacy with our Father in heaven. It's through prayer. It's through walking with Him. It's through self-control. It's through those decisions that are made that you have the power to do. So sometimes your willpower may not be strong enough. But the power of the Holy Spirit within you is enable you to make that right choice. A right choice empowered by the Spirit of God is self-control. And He enables us to do that, to exercise that self-control. So if I'm going to rule in life, first of all, I'm going to have to start ruling this thing. I'm going to have to rule me, the person that I am, to bring that into subjection. Because if I'm going to rule in life, I need to get this thing under authority. I need to get this thing in the right place, in the right order. But what else? So that's one of the things you can ask, check yourself. Am I ruling in life? Am I reigning with Christ? Even as He says, how much more in Romans 5 that you will reign in Christ? Am I reigning in Christ? Or am I like the Corinthians? He says, yeah, I wish you were. Or we can look at ourselves and say, well, look, am I in subjection? Am I bound by things? Am I in bondage to things? I'm bondage to compulsions, addictions, just emotional responses that just come out of me. Well, then that's a good little test for ourselves, and we need to be able to bring that in line, and we can by the power of the Holy Spirit. What else, then, if I'm ruling and reigning in life and I'm not ruling over people, I'm not bossing people around, what is the other area that has to be, comes under subjection to me, comes under my authority, comes under my domain, under my dominion? What is something else, then, that I need to then exercise authority over? Now, we've spoken about this several times, and I feel like we're just going to keep on saying this until we actually grab a hold of it, until it actually gets into our heart, into our spirit. And that is the area of that the devil is in subjection to you. He's under you. He's under your authority. Now, that doesn't mean he's under your authority to command. Other than the command that you can give the devil is, devil, get lost. James 4:7, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So he is in subjection to you. You can tell the devil to get lost. That's how you can command him. But to understand that the devil is not above you in any way, that the devil does not have authority over your life. He doesn't have authority unless we're duped by him and we surrender it to him. We know Adam, how he just handed it all over, handed over the keys in the Garden of Eden, how when he was let sin in and handed over his dominion to the devil at that time. And we can be a little bit like that in our own lives. If we allow the devil to manipulate us, to put fear in our lives, if we get him to undermine and we listen to his voice, even as Eve listened. And then Adam was obviously enticed. But to realize that the enemy is under our feet. He is in subjection to us. And how much my cry is that we actually understand what that means, that we will grab a hold of that. Because what an awesome people we would be. What an awesome people we would be. In fact, we are awesome people. We just don't always know that. And so people get bullied by the devil. They get intimidated at him. He comes and he puffs up his cheeks. You've seen those little fish, those little, what are they, puffer fish, whatever you call them, those little ones, the little skinny fish. And go, blows up and the thing's this big, whopping big. You know, have you seen those fish? Those, and what's those other ones that you catch? There's the puffer ones, but there's a common one when you're fishing, you get the stupid things. They blow up like little balloons. Like toadfish? Is that somebody said a toadfish? There's another one I'm thinking of. But anyway, I'm a great fisherman, as you can tell. All I know is you throw that one away and I think you can eat that one if I check with somebody. But you've seen those fish and all they are is just this little thing and then they fill up with air and then they suddenly look really big, look really huge and really intimidating and threatening. It's suddenly this little thing suddenly becomes really big. And the devil's like that. He would dupe us. He just puffs out his cheek and some of us think, oh, the devil is really big. Look at him. But he's just full of hot air. We've got to understand that. You could have a little pin and then just go pop. And we've got to understand that the devil does not have authority over us. Romans 16:20 says this. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So where does Satan get crushed? Under your feet. Under your feet. But how often people think, oh, the devil's crushing me, and he's... No. We've got to understand that we have this incredible authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're not subject to the wiles of the enemy. We're subject to him if we listen to him and if we're sucked into his schemes. Remember, Paul says, we're not aware of the devil's schemes. We're not stupid. We're not naive. We know what the devil's up to. We know he's trying to bring us down. We know that he's trying to discourage us. He's trying to let fear in there. He's trying to do all of these things. And if we listen, we can be sucked into that. And we suddenly, rather than us being the one reigning in life, we suddenly feel like we've been totally dominated. And that everything just seems to be too much for us and overwhelming and just caves in upon us. Our whole world can be like that. But to know the enemy is in subjection to us. He doesn't have authority over your life. Don't give him any authority over your life. Don't concede him one inch. He tries to get a foothold in there. He'll try to take a mile. Don't allow him to do that. He is under you. All right? You're the head. He is the tail. He doesn't have authority over your life. Don't give him authority over your life. As I've said before, when he shows up and he comes trying to do things, you just say, devil, get gone in the name of Jesus Christ. You get off my family. You get off my finances. You get off my situation. You tell him where to go, and he must go. He can't stand there and debate it with you. He will debate it with you if you doubt it. If you don't really know what your authority is, you know the story in Acts. So I can't remember, Acts 6 or 7, somewhere, maybe 7, somewhere around there. I'm not sure, I can't remember. But you hear the story of the seven sons of Sceva. You've heard that story where they see the disciples all casting out demons and stuff, and they thought, gee, that's pretty cool. And so they get this guy, this demonized guy, seven of them there, and they're there saying, in the name of Jesus, who Paul teaches, leave. So they don't know Jesus, and they've heard of Paul, and so the demons in there, I look at this bunch of guys, and what ends up happening, we don't know exactly what happening, but you've seen plenty of cartoons, you can imagine them spinning around and whatever. What happens, those seven guys end up running, fleeing naked, beaten up, running for their lives. Because the demons and the guy says, Jesus we know his authority, Paul we know, but who are you? Beats them up and they go running through their lives. Because those guys, well, number one, they didn't really know Christ, so they didn't have any authority. But it's really important that we know Jesus Christ and we know that we have authority. And then the devil, he doesn't have a choice then. Don't mess with me, devil. That should be your attitude as a believer. Don't mess with me, devil. Don't mess with me. You try and mess with me, then I'm going to stand in the authority of Jesus Christ and I'm going to come against you with everything that is within me. And you know what's within me? The power of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what's within you? You've got the power of the throne of heaven within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And say, devil, you mess with me. I'm going to bring everything that there is against you. And so stand in that. So don't take any nonsense. Part of ruling in life is to say, no, I'm not going to take that nonsense from the enemy. I'm not going to be seduced by him. I'm not going to be beguiled. I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm not going to listen to the rubbish that he says to me. And I'm going to stand in that authority. And if we begin to do that, if we can get this flesh into subjection, and we begin to stand in our authority, we begin to reign. We begin to have an abundant and full life. But there's one more thing that we need to deal with in our life. And one of the other areas is to understand. It's more something we've got to understand. The flesh has got to come into subjection for us to reign. And know that the devil, he's into subjection. Tell him to go. He must go. You know who you are in Christ. He cannot debate the. He can't have an argument. He can't do that. He's got nothing to say. Don't even let him open his mouth. Just get gone. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You're out of town. He's gone. He's got no choice. No argument. One other area that we need to look at is something that we've not to be subjected to. And that is to subjecting ourselves to the world system. That we're not subjected to the world system. Because you won't, if everything that happens in the world is something that you see dictated as happening in your own life, you're not going to rule in life. and you're not going to have an abundant life. We hear about the employment rate's gone up from, what, 5.4 to 5.8 or something. People are saying, oh, that's good because it's not so bad everywhere else. Well, if you're one of the 5.8%, that's pretty bad. And so we see that. We hear about manufacturing in the country. We hear about, and they're all saying it's going to get worse and all of those kind of things. Now, if your mindset was the same as the people in the world, and you're in a manufacturing industry or one where they're putting people offshore or you're doing all that, you might start to feel a little bit nervous. And there's certainly a lot of nervous people out in the world. You work for Holden. Holden workers will be getting a little bit nervous now. We know what's happening with Ford and Holden. They're saying, government, just keep throwing money at us. You know, we're out of town as well. And so I'm sure there's some nervous Holden workers around the place as well. And if we actually had our mentality living as the world did, it would be very hard for us to be someone living in a position of victory, to live in that position of having a sense of reigning in life. Because if the worries of the world became our worries, that could be crippling for us. It could make it extremely difficult for us. And all woe is all that's happening out there in the world. And if we see ourselves as people, a product of the world system, then we're not going to rule in life. We're going to struggle with everything. We're going to, fears will come in. The same fear that unbelievers fear will come into our own life. And we see that we're subject to that. Now, of course, we live in this world and there is a world system. You still have to pay your taxes. You still have to do all of those things. But we've got to understand that we are not subject to what happens in the world. But if you see yourself as that, well, it's difficult for people to get a job, therefore I'm not going to get a job, you're not going to have an abundance in your life. If our mentality is what's happening out there is going to be the same thing that's going to affect me, you're not going to have an abundant life. You're going to be worried like other people did, as I said. What does it say in the scripture? Colossians 2:2. It says, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to this world? We're not under the dominion of this world. So your employer is not your employer. Your employer is God. More than that, your employer, he's actually your provider. He is your provider. He's able to look after you. All the things that are happening in the world are those other things. Is to say, no, hang on, I'm not actually a product of the world system. I'm actually living in another kingdom. Now I live in this world and I'm not living in fairyland. I know I live in this world, but I know I'm not subject to what's happening in this world. I'm not subject to what happens out there. And there it might be very tough out there, but God is my provider. You might be in business and people are saying, well, retailing is really hard. But, you know, I just hear the testimony of Chris Thomas. He's saying, well, God's in my business and see God blessing there. Even though other people might be struggling and finding it really difficult to pay the rent. They pay huge, incredible rents. You would shudder when you hear the rents that these people pay in shopping centres and things. But God blesses him because he realises, well, hang on, my business is belonging to God. And every one of us to have that heart of saying, well, look, it might be tough for everyone else. It might be tough. But I'm actually not a product of the world system. I'm actually here to rule in life and I'm here to reign in life. It says in Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, because that's what the world has, which depend on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Christ. It's always got to come back to Christ for us. Christ is the center of everything in our life and in our world. And so it might be woe is me to the world, but it's never woe is me to you. You stand as a son and a daughter of the living God. We talked about the inheritance that we have in the kingdom and the way there's an inheritance that we have and an inheritance that we need to possess. But there's incredible things that God has placed in life. We're not subject to that. And don't begin to see that. Never write yourself off because other people in the same age category or in the same circumstance or situation, that's what's happening for them. You're not them. You're not a product of that. God's called you to reign in life. And so we are not subject to the world. And begin to, if you change your attitude, begin to see that differently. then everything begins to change. First of all, we've got to get this thing into subjection. If I'm going to reign in life, well, I've got to reign over this thing, myself, this body, this flesh. I've got to reign over that. I've got to understand that the devil, he don't mess with me. He doesn't mess with you. That you stand in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's going to crush him under your feet. Your feet. Now, I don't want a bit of messy, slimy devil stuck to my foot, but if need be, I'll squash him down again. But and so we begin to understand that and begin to understand that we're not subject to the world. And if you have those three things going in your life, begin to understand, you begin to reign in life. Doesn't mean that nothing ever goes wrong because we live in a sinful world and we get impacted by those things. But nothing ever defeats us. They don't crush us. They don't destroy us. We're not discouraged. We're not dissuaded. Even as Paul says, we're persecuted, but we're not destroyed. And we're perplexed sometimes, but we're not broken or totally discouraged. We go through things, but we begin to rule in life. And I think Paul was a good example. He went through a whole bunch of stuff, a whole lot of stuff I never want to go through. I don't want to go through beatings, and I want to get chucked in prison, and I don't want to get attacked by wild animals, and I don't want a whole lot of stuff that happened to him. But despite all the things that happened, he was able to rule in life because he had this thing under control. He knew where the devil had no place there, and he wasn't conforming to the world system. And so that there was something inside of him, the joy and the love of Christ that's within each and every one of us, which God wants us to live in and to reveal and to see that shining out of our hearts and our lives. So we're here to reign in life. If you want to have an influential life, bring some things under influence first of all, and then ultimately influence your friends. Let them know about the love of Jesus Christ. Let them know they don't have to be Satan's puppet, his little plaything, his little pawn. Let them know. Just because everyone else is struggling doesn't mean they have to. They can have that breakthrough in their life. We're able to do that, to bring that influence. So to reign with Christ is to live a self-controlled life. It's to live a victorious life, and it's to live a faith-filled life. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. So the world might look pretty dismal around you, but I belong to something better, something higher. My citizenship is in a different kingdom, not in the kingdom of this world. And that's what it really means to rule and reign in life. And so maybe for many of us, maybe it's to start with this thing here, beginning to bring this thing into subjection ourselves, who we are, our thought processes, to bring in some of those things. And certainly this is going to help you with a whole lot of stuff, particularly areas of the mind and thinking and the way we think about stuff. No, the devil's under our feet. And whatever happens in the world, it's not the prescription for your life. You belong to something far better, something stronger. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace upon our lives. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us that are here. And Father, my prayer is, Lord, my prayer is, but Lord, I know it's your heart too, Lord, that we begin to reign in life. Lord Jesus, when you said we have an abundant life, it was an abundant of woe, Lord. It was an abundant of victory. Lord, a victory in every woe. Lord, a victory in every challenge, a victory in every situation we may face. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that this day, Lord, that we begin to grab a hold of that. Lord, that we by the Spirit, Lord, that we can get this flesh into control, Lord, that we can have self-control, Father, that the enemy is under our feet, Lord. He's at the sole of our feet, Lord, as we stand under him in Jesus' name, Lord. And we're not subject to this world system. Father, I pray, Lord, help us to get a revelation of these things, Lord, because it's life-transforming. Lord, people that are down and downcast, Lord, are changed, Lord, as we grab a hold of these things. So, Father, I pray, Lord, let us grab a hold of these things this day. Lord, let your word penetrate deep into every heart this day. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do all of this on our own. We thank you, Lord, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of your Spirit within our lives, Lord, that we're able to reign, Lord, in this life, Lord, not just in eternity, Lord, but we can reign in this life. And, Father, what an awesome people we will be when we grab a hold of this, Lord, and all reign and rule, Lord, and make that influence, Lord, that eternal influence, Lord, to see that, Lord, in every person that we know to come to know you, Lord. That's our cry, our prayer, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. So touch our hearts this day. Father, I just thank you for each person. Lord, if anyone here, Lord, needs prayer, I just pray, Lord, even as they come, Lord, that I'll have a breakthrough this day. Lord, if it's an area of their flesh, whether it's his fears because of the enemy, Lord, whether it's the uncertainty of the world, Father, I pray, Lord, as they come this day, Lord, that you'll touch them and there'll be that breakthrough, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.